Okay, we're gonna try it this way. Looks like we're gonna have to go old school. I'm not sure what's going on with my computer, but the computer is not picking up sound today on the app that I normally use. So it's all right. We will just do this the old school way and we'll get going. All right, so the main thing that everybody needs to know, so I'm gonna do a few announcements to get us started, is that number one is if you're here, please make sure that you have done your 24-hour plan first. So if you're listening on the replay or if you're listening live, you do not need to listen to these calls unless you're creating a 24-hour plan. It's not helpful to you to come to a call and learn about the nuances of all the things that are on the 24-hour plan if you're not actually doing them. So if you haven't done one and you are sitting around dicking around and thinking about getting started and all this other stuff, step one is very simple. You get a pen, you get out the paper, you answer the questions, right or wrong, feeling confident or feeling full of self-doubt. That's what it takes to lose weight. You can't sit around waiting to be motivated, waiting to know all the things, waiting for divine inspiration, super wads of motivation come raining down you. That's not how it works. That's not how anything works in life. If your children came up to you and said, "Hey, I'm just kind of confused about this homework thing. And I've got a lot of self-doubt about being a student. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until the teacher says the right thing to where I'm motivated, and then I might start." As a parent, you'd either go old school and make them go get the switch, or you'd say, "That's a fuck no. Get in there and do your work." Like, we are constantly in life needing to learn how to override our initial bullshit when it comes to not wanting to do something. The only reason why you won't make a plan is always going to be some bullshit excuse lurking around in your brain. It isn't because you actually don't know. There is not a single question on there that's so confusing that you can't take a guess at it. It is not like I'm saying, like, "Here's an algebraic equation, and you'll need to solve this in order to be able to eat breakfast today." It's like, take a fucking wild guess what you're going to want to eat for dinner. I would rather you, in the beginning, get good at overriding your fears and doubts than for you to continue to not do it, waiting for the perfect time, waiting for you to feel confident. When it comes to weight loss, guys, that's not the habit that we want to form. We don't want to form the habit of needing to know all the things, needing it to be perfect, needing to be confident before we do things. We need to form the habit of knowing that sometimes we're scared and uncertain, but we can prove to ourselves we can do something even in those moments. If you can prove it by writing a plan, then there will be times when food's going to feel like an option in the face of real shit hitting the fan in your life, and you've already proven to yourself that you can do what you said you would do no matter what. This is how we do the building blocks of learning those skills. So we make sure that we are going to, somebody says, "I am a math teacher, so it's very likely I can solve an algebraic equation daily before eating food from my plan." That's hilarious. Yes, this is live, Joellen. If it is, it's 9 a.m. Central Time in Nashville, Tennessee on, I don't know the date. It's April something, April the 14th. So if you're watching it then you're live. If you're watching it any other time other than that, no, it's a replay. All right. So we're going to make our plan, and that's going to teach us to show up for ourselves. It's going to teach us to take guesses. It's going to teach us to override our self-doubts. It's going to give us clarity around what we're going to do for the rest of the day. It's going to do a lot of amazing things for us. Okay, step two, you should all know, is no BS. So if you're new or it's been a while, I suggest you go through no BS about once every 4 months. That's my suggestion. Whenever there's something I'm trying to master, I re-listen to my courses. Just like you all know that I'm a life coach through the Life Coach School. You might not know, but that is, I am a master certified, like I am a master certified life and weight coach through the Life Coach School. I have spent 6 years studying the fuck out of this art. I have trained under the best, all the things, at least 2 to 3 times a year. And I'm one of the few people that will do this. 2 to 3 times a year, I go to our certification site where all the alumni get to go to, and I re-listen to the, I think there's 18 videos, the 18 lessons on how to become a life coach. And I do them for myself. Why? Does Corinne really need to do that? I mean, I've already gone through the master's program. No. But do you know why I do it? Because every single time I redo that course, I learn something new. I bring the version of Corinne that's been studying herself, studying other people, asking for feedback, working her ass off. I bring that version of Corinne to that course every single time, and I learn more than any other time. And so for all of you, about every 4 months, I'd go back through the no BS. The other amazing thing is about every 4 months, we pop a new lesson in there. We refine one. We tweak things. You never know when you're going to find the Easter egg goodness in there. So make sure you do that. Last but not least, for all of you who are like sitting around wondering what to do, like, well, I finished no BS. You've got two options. For the rest of the month, you listen to coaching calls. You don't have to start another course. You do your plan every day and you start listening to some of the coaching calls and you use those to study. Just like last night, I did a live coaching call for almost 2 hours. And in there, I talked about not eating dinner because you're not hungry and going through mom guilt and wanting to eat with your children. I talked about stopping at enough and leaving two bites behind and the drama that we sometimes have around it. These are the things that I coach on those calls. So when you are sitting there thinking about, like, what should I do next? If you've been around for a long time, I suggest you listen to calls. And every time you listen to a call, you take notes and you apply one thing, just one thing that, like, you will listen to me talk about 1,000 different ideas on one live coaching call. Pick the one that you're like, I could do that. I'm going to try that this week. And you do it. And that's it. You don't make it more complicated than that. You don't sit there and think, oh my God, Corinne's live. Like seriously, I give you guys at least 3 to 5 hours of live content from me per week. That does not mean you need to listen to every drop that comes out of my mouth. It means you take a look and you decide which things you would like to listen to. That's not even including what the coaches will give you. But you just get real choosy. If you love Q&A format, listen to Q&A every week. If you love coaching, pick a coaching call and listen to 30 minutes worth. You don't even have to listen to all, like, if I go 2 hours, you don't need to listen to 2 hours. We give you detailed notes on every call. Pick where the timestamp starts of the topic of which you think you can get help with and just listen to that. I think that for a lot of you, there's two types in here. One is the version that does really well listening to all the things. Like, you're a podcast diva. You're just like, I have the Private Member podcast and I'm going to listen and I am going to have this running in my head all the time so I don't forget it. I do better the more I listen. And for those of you, that's awesome. Then there is the other side where you need constraint more than you need anything. If you overwhelm easy, if you look at things and have a hard time figuring out, like, how am I going to get it all in? The first thing you have to tell yourself is the goal is never to get it all in. If you're trying to think about how to get all of it done, your brain is lying to you and you need to quit believing it. Like, seriously. Go back to module 2 of No BS and listen to what a big fucking liar our brains are. Our brains make up huge ass lies. Like, I got to listen to all of it. There's so much material. Whenever you're hearing yourself talk in big sweeping terms like that, that's the indicator light that the language you use around things does overwhelm you. So your thoughts about things overwhelm you. So what you want to do is you want to take a look at things and say, I'm going to pick one thing. I'm just going to, like, whatever the latest replay is, I'm going to look at the description, and I bet there's one coaching call that Corinne does or that one of the coaches does, and it sounds like me, and I'm going to listen to that segment. I'm going to pick one thing from it, and I'm going to peace out. So for some of you, what you need to do is learn how to break the habit of being overwhelmed and break the habit of being busy and looking at all the things. You need to practice the habit of now constraint, focus, and being willing to do one thing well, and being and have the confidence to let other things go. That is a skill that's really useful in this world, to have the confidence to, like, do the one thing and to say, and the rest I'm going to let go. Because here's one thing that I know that you guys can trust. I will always be coming to you live just about as much as you can stand. Like, that is just one of the things I love doing. I like running my mouth. This is why we give you plenty of my mouth content in your private member podcast. So if you're worried, if you don't listen to it as if, like, I'm going to lose out, or if I'm not, like, using every single thing, then I'm not getting my money's worth. That's another fucking big lie that your brain is telling you. I guarantee you this Q&A, I'm going to answer some questions, and guess what's going to happen in about 4 weeks? The same questions are going to get asked because somebody didn't listen to this Q&A, and that's okay. Stopping at enough is probably the number one question we get. Like, how do you stop at enough? I know that I teach you guys how to stop at enough at least 3 times a week. I'm always talking about it live. And when I get into the Facebook group, I'm always looking for somebody who's having that scared ass mentality about getting hungry if they stop at enough. And I'm coaching in the Facebook group. So don't worry that, like, if I don't consume it now, that somehow I'm losing out or that I won't get it. It's like, no, I keep everything super simple and repeatable for a reason. The human brain needs to hear something about 5,000 times before it's ever going to be like, oh, what did you just say? It's kind of like all of us with our partners. Like, I can say something to Chris. I can literally tell Chris 500 times something that I want. I'll come home with it and he'll look at me and go like, oh, why'd you get that? I'm like, what the fuck have I been talking about for like 6 months? But that's the way the human brain works. If it's not super important to you in the moment, the brain kind of tunes it out. So, like, for example, if you're working on enough, you'll probably notice every call I've ever had on enough. But you'll miss all the ones where I'm talking about, like, little nuances, like self-talk or something like that, until you finally get to where you conquer enough and you notice the next problem you have is talking to yourself. Next thing you know, you're looking at all the calls where I'm talking about self-talk and stuff. So make sure that that you're, like, listening to those things. Guys, if you're asking questions inside the comments of the Facebook group, my team will be answering those. So I'm going to start answering all the ones that are pre-populated, which cover some of this stuff. All right. So the only other announcement I will make is super exciting. Next month, if you are really wanting to dive into the basics, we are going to focus super hard on the basics next month. We're designing right now a month-long challenge. Everything will be explained, everything will be delivered to you in your email, and everything will be updated on the website with all the instructions on how to follow things. But I just want your brain to start getting excited that get No BS finished this month. If you don't finish No BS, it doesn't mean you can't participate next month. But I will tell you, if you get No BS done this month, next month it will build upon that foundation. Things might make a little more sense to you. But here's the cool thing. We're going to talk about the basics and all of the nuanced questions you guys have. So this month, what I'm doing is I am pulling all the questions you guys are having on the basics. And then I am going to be doing 17 Facebook Lives next month. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, Thursdays, I think it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I will be going live at a certain time. We're putting it on the calendar next week. We haven't decided when I can be consistent, but I will be doing it every day but Wednesday, because Wednesday is my normal Q&A. And so in May, we will be deep diving into the basics. We're going to come up with a cool name for the program and everything. It used to be called Bootcamp Basics, but we're going to change it up a little bit. But I will be going live for about 30 minutes every day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, to talk about different parts of just the four basics, nailing them, dialing them in. We're going to have prizes next month. There's going to be all kinds of neat things rolling out. So just be looking forward to that. More information will come out the last week of April for all of that. All right. Let me go to the questions. The very first one is, I'm not doing things with the stuff. Like I feel like I'm going to be fat forever. Why can't I figure this out? I'm struggling. What the hell is my problem? That was the question. All right. So I was thinking about this morning, and let me see if I got a blank piece of paper. I don't know if I do or not. Thought I had paper. Yeah. Question is, do I have a marker? All right. So your brain likes to think in this way. I'm going to draw it out for you guys. All right. So here's your brain. Your brain does everything in its power to avoid pain and seek pleasure. This is the way the brain is designed. It's designed to avoid pain and seek pleasure. It actually operates more motivationally to avoid pain. So a good example of this is, in the mornings, you wake up and the alarm's going off and you really want to stay in bed. Like, the pleasure is for real. But you get up. You get up because you got to go to work. And the pain of losing your job and losing your house and losing your food outweighs the pleasure of just sleeping in the bed. So our brain is very wired to like do all it can to stay away from pain and pleasure. When you are having a hard time getting started, or you are not using the tools, or not doing the program, or half-assing it. Some of you are like notorious for being able to do it for 2 to 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden it's like, you just notice you have a natural drop-off. There is self-sabotage afoot, or as one of our No BS women one time told me, Corinne, there is fuckery afoot around here. So your brain is having fuckery afoot in the background, and what it normally is, and this is what you can journal on, and I'm going to give you a solve, is you have stories about what it's going to take to lose weight, even if it's with the four basics, that is more painful than the pleasure it is to do it. So now a lot of us will sit and think like, yeah, but I just really want to lose weight. I know I would feel so much better when I'm thin. But your brain every day has to execute. And so long-term pleasure never is going to outweigh a daily shitty story. It just isn't. So if your thoughts are like, well, I know that the basics are easy, but these questions are hard. Like, what does she mean? My why? What's she talking about? Sit here and I try to plan my dinner, then I'm just going to be pissing off everybody in my house because I'm going to have to eat special food. And if I plan my dinner, what happens if I want something else? That's just going to suck sitting there. That's what we call a painful ass story. And so if your story around getting started is fuckery afoot, don't be surprised that you're like, it feels awful hard to get started. There's no motivation to start for your brain. Your brain now is highly motivated. It's now like, the four basics are painful. The only thing you're thinking about is how terrible your life is going to be. The only thing you're thinking about is how hard it's going to be. Oh my God. So it's like, if the story's painful, then your brain is going to do everything it can to avoid implementing it. And it's going to continue to seek daily pleasure, because if your story is, it's easier to just eat what I want, it's quicker, it's more convenient. Like, I don't really have time. It'll save me. If I don't have to do my plan, it'll save me some time. Like, I just got to get to work. If you start saying things like, my plan is going to get in the way of me being able to get to work, where losing my job is more painful, that's how we have trouble getting started. So the answer is to flip the tail. It is to figure out, like, if I'm having a hard time starting, I need to figure out what story am I telling? And I would just pull apart the four basics. What's like, and only the ones that you're having a hard time with. Like, when it comes to the planner, what are my thoughts on doing it? Find them all. And notice if they feel terrible. I want you to just start with, that's a thought, but that's not a fact. Is anything else true? There's always a really good exercise for everyone. And I think this makes thought work easier. So I'm going to show you how to do it. Is to, hang on. List thoughts. Then the feeling. A feeling is one word, so go to module 2 of No BS. Look at the feelings and emotions lesson a few times, because I know so many of you are not taught how to feel your feelings. You're not taught how to identify your feelings. You're taught how to just shove your feelings away. We're told to quit crying. We're told get over it. We're told those things all of our lives. And as we're told that, then we spend the rest of our lives practicing getting rid of them. So a lot of times we have a hard time identifying them. But you can listen to module 2 and figure this out. And then, what else is true? All right. So you just do it just like this. So you just take a piece of paper, turn it this way. For some of you, it will be like, turn it this way. You list your current thoughts around, number one, the 24-hour plan. Number two, only waiting until you're hungry. Number three, stopping at enough. Number four, drinking your water. Number five, your sleep. I always like, it's five things, but it's really the four basics. You list your thoughts, you decide how it feels, and then you give yourself what else is true. And if you want a bonus, add a fourth column. I just don't have any more paper to say, and how does that feel? Then what you want to do is you just simply want to start telling yourself every single day in your journal, you write about why the four basics are simple, how they're going to make my life better, how easy they're going to be to start, the problems I'll no longer have if I start doing them. You start training your brain to find the four basics to be where the pleasure resides each day. And then you tell yourself, doing it like not doing it, here's all the painful things that are going to happen. So it's like flipping the script. That's how, like in self-sabotage, what I'm going to be teaching at May Camp, I'll go deeper into all of this, but this is a good exercise for all of you. Because when you find yourself not starting, that's always an indicator that self-sabotage is happening. So the trick is we have to flip the script and make doing seem like it's going to be the pleasurable part and not doing the painful part. Right now, your story is, I'm beating myself up for not doing these hard things. And so you just basically create a no-win situation for yourself. All right. So that's my speech on, like, if I'm not doing anything, and don't call it, like this person said, I'm not doing shit with the tools you gave me because that's my MO. It's not your MO. Let me tell you what it is. It's your learned behavior because no one's taught you anything different on how to think. Now you're learning how to think differently. So it's no longer your MO anymore. So I don't want you guys feeling bad when it's hard to get started. And I don't want you feeling bad when you notice, like, I was doing good for a while, then I stopped and stuff. Guys, there's no reason to feel bad about it. It just means there's something going on under the hood that we need to root out, and it's not that hard. And we need to flip the script so that you can easily get back on track. That's it. Let's not make it more dramatic than it has to be. I am new and was excited about losing 3.9 pounds for about 2 minutes. And then the thoughts started creeping in. That was a big loss of next week's will be almost nothing. And can I sustain this? What if you just fail again? Will this ever end? Those thoughts will end one day. But the trick is that here's the good thing, newbie, is that you found your brain going that way. It's not a problem as long as you're finding it. What the problem is when you guys don't listen for that and you just believe all that stuff. And then every week it's like, I feel really good about myself. And then I scare the fuck out of myself and I live in that for a whole week. And then I'm like, when you keep those thoughts and you don't tell yourself, that's all right. Sometimes I think that shit, but here's what we know. We know that we did amazing things this week and we'll keep doing amazing things because that's the habit we want to repeat. Doesn't matter what you lose each week. It matters what you do each week. A lot of us get so focused on what we lose that we lose sight of we're supposed to be really celebrating and really excited and really focused on the things that we do. And the more we do that, the more results will come along for the ride without a lot of effort. It doesn't feel as hard when you're doing things and talking to yourself like a champ, encouraging yourself to keep going, shifting your perspectives and stuff. That's how you enjoy the process. So it's very normal at first when you are weighing in. It's not even when you're new. It's just really normal until you really work on the relationship with the scale to have thoughts like that. Because one of the things that I want all of my people that have lost about 50 pounds, maybe some of you are halfway to goal. Some of you are in the Queen's Club and you've lost your first 25 pounds and you really haven't worked on, like, you've done a lot of work on changing your thoughts around food and what you're doing and stuff, but you're still living and dying by the scale. It's now time for all of you to start working on listening to what you say when you get on the scale and notice if your brain within the moment you weigh in or an hour after you weigh in, notice what your brain wants to do. If it wants to downregulate and send you back to being scared and cautious and everything, that's the exact moment to reroute your brain, redirect it to say, so let's use some of her stuff for example. That was a big loss, so next week will be nothing. And when you think that, say like, no, that was a big loss, and it's because I did all these amazing things. And I just plan to do amazing things again this week. Like, that's where you shift that thought over. You immediately give yourself the opportunity to turn the conversation around. Remember when I talked about pain and pleasure? The more you talk about the process pleasurably, guess what the brain wants to do? It wants to get more of that. The more you talk about the process painfully, guess what your brain wants to do? Get away from that process. It's like, ooh, we shouldn't make a plan. Ooh, we shouldn't do this. So the next thought was, can I sustain this? Whenever your brain asks what we call a pointless fucking question, that's a pointless question. And if you are already in self-doubt and fear, that means your habit brain, your unconscious part of your brain, has a lot of fear and a lot of habit thoughts in it, just like everybody else is. The brain is wired to go negative anyway. And some of us, we're not only wired 50% to go negative, but we got about 10 to 20% locked on top of just socialized conditioning from what we learned from our peers and stuff. So when your brain is throwing this stuff up, that's an indicator light that if you ask a pointless question, your habit brain will give you pointless answers to match it. this is the thing. I want you to think about this. If your brain is already in full doubt and it's just sitting there ruminating on the question, can I sustain this? Unless you purposely answer it on paper, like, yes, and here's how. It will be because of this and this and this. I now think this way. Unless you like do that on purpose, you're leaving it up to your scared fucking habit brain to come up with all the reasons why you can't. And what it will do is for the rest of the week, every time you're hungry, it will think, oh, it's just always going to be like this. Unless you're someone who's saying, like, absolutely, I can sustain it. And here's why. Then when you're hungry through the week, you know what that brain does? Oh, good. I get to eat whenever I'm hungry. Your brain will have a different interpretation of the exact same week, depending on what you are setting it up to think about. So the other thing, what if I just fail again? That's another pointless question. Your brain will probably be like, well, yeah, and if you do, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to feel like shit. You'll probably be humiliated. I bet everybody will be like, oh, yeah, there she goes again. Like, your brain is going to answer. So when you notice that you're thinking that, it's a journal prompt. The journal prompt is, what if I fail again? And you go through there and say, like, well, here's the things that I know. I'm going to be doing all these things, so I'm probably not going to fail again. And then you answer, or you can flip the question and say, I know my brain wants to know if I fail again. I want to teach my brain to ask, what if I succeed? What will that look like? You can do two options there. And then every week, guys, this is the thing. Probably every time you weigh in, this kind of conversation is going to happen for a while. You're not going to write about this one time. This is what y'all do. You put all your new hotness thoughts down. This is in the camp swag box. If y'all are wondering, where do you get such a fire new hotness emoji? You get it in the camp swag box. You got your new hotness scale thoughts. You've done the journaling. You've done the work. It is, let's say, it is April 16th. We're all weighing in, right? Well, here we come, April 23rd. You hop your happy ass on the scale. You're prepared with new hotness. And the second you get off, here comes old shitty again. And old shitty is just like, oh my God, can we sustain this? Oh my God, what if we fail again? All of the shitties are going to come back. Your job is not to get pissed. Your job is not to be like, whoa. Your job is to keep going back to new hotness and saying, all right, we're going to write about all that shit again this week. I'm going to see if I even have more good shit to talk about. I'm going to do all those journal prompts one more time. And you do that week after week. And what ends up happening is that as you write it and as you do that, every single time you write it, you just going to feel better. Because you're writing good shit. As long as you're not hating on the thoughts, you give yourself the opportunity to be like, oh, shitty, I got our back, man. Come on, you got that big grin. Let's go over here and let's be a flaming duty instead. Let's just put some new hotness right on top of your head. And so then you just do that. And then at the end, you're like, okay, I feel some relief. I know what to think this week. This is great. All the things. And you do that each week. And guess what? Each week you feel a little bit better, a little bit better. His little voice gets quieter and quieter. Eventually what happens is this and this start talking at the same time. He'll come in, your brain will just start saying these things. And eventually he just starts going away. That's how it works. That's it. I am new and I've not stayed on plan once yet. My thoughts went from, I'm figuring this out, to see, I just can't do it. So when your thoughts go to see, I just can't do it, now what you're doing is you're getting the opportunity to say, like, no, that's not true. Now it's time for me to practice meaning what I said. I am figuring this out. It's easy to think I'm figuring it out after the first couple tries. It's commitment when you keep thinking it on the 100th try. A lot of y'all think commitment is like the first 3 days I'm doing it. No, here's commitment. Commitment means on day 100, when I'm on my like tail end of my second No BS planner, I'm still figuring it out. Real commitment means I ain't giving up either. That's what commitment is. And a lot of you are just like, I'm new. Like, I'm, you know, granted, I'm like 2 weeks old. I'm shocked and dismayed I'm not following my plan. Bitch, we got people who've been in here a year who are losing all kinds of weight and still at least once a week ain't eating on their plan. Y'all ain't special if you ain't following your plan. Y'all ain't broken either. Like, this is what, when I say special, I know y'all aren't sitting around looking for a crown for not staying on your plan, but y'all are sitting around wanting to feel broken, alone, the hard case. I must got all the self-sabotage, Corinne. Oh, my past. I bet you I got a skeleton deep down in there. That is not what is happening. It's called, you're getting used to following your plans. You're figuring out what's going to work. It's going to take a minute. I wouldn't expect ever to be perfect. All of you right now, do not think that you're going to have like, oh, I was perfect all month long. Thank God Corinne has amazing videos. That is not how it works. I don't even set the program. Let me give you all a hint. There wouldn't be a video in module one that talks about how to handle mistakes if I didn't expect you guys to have to handle mistakes. There wouldn't be a whole module on overeating pre, during, and post urges, how to talk to yourself after you make mistakes and stuff. There wouldn't be videos on that shit if you weren't supposed to be making mistakes. But for some reason, y'all are like, I don't know why Corinne adds all this mistake shit in there, but I think we're supposed to be perfect. If I expected you guys to be perfect, I wouldn't teach you how to get the fuck back up. So let's just like be real for a minute. So my thoughts went from figuring out, see, I just can't do it. Maybe I don't want it bad enough. It's not that you don't want it. Here's what I always tell people. There ain't a woman inside of no BS that is like lacking in want. I don't think it's because y'all's want tanks are low. You have the desire. You're here. The only person who doesn't want it bad enough is the woman sitting outside of the no BS pearly gates. Maybe her want tank is too low. If you're inside, like, here's the thing. Wanting it doesn't mean like you've got to be a level 10. I don't care if it's a whisper. Psst, I'd like to lose weight. That's enough. That is enough. What else did she say? Why can so many people be successful and I don't even bother to look at my plan when it's time to eat? Because you're not used to it yet. Like, this is you throwing yourself under the bus. You're also assuming all these people are looking at their plans all the time. All you need to do, I was talking about this in a Facebook post this morning. I was in there checking. I do my morning rounds every morning. And I was looking at a Facebook post and the person was talking about how they want to stop it enough. And like, this person wants to follow her plan. And so she is stopping at enough, but she wants to do that. And she wanted to leave two bites behind. So last night, she got through with her meal and she remembered she was going to leave two bites behind after she ate the last bite. And she was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, I really wanted to do this. You know, I don't know if this is going to work. And I was like, when you got done eating and you remembered you wanted to do it, that's called your brain sending you a signal that it now knows what your intention is. Guys, when you want to do something, it doesn't mean that the first step to getting it done is always getting it done 100%. So like in the case of stopping at enough, for a lot of you, when you're going to leave two bites behind, sometimes the first phase of learning how to leave two bites behind is when the meal's over, you remember, oh yeah, I was supposed to stop eating. All that happened is you're used to cleaning your plate and your brain was on automatic mode when you were eating. And until the automatic pattern stopped, it didn't remember what the new thing is supposed to be. But I want to ask you this. How many times in your life have you never even questioned leaving two bites behind? Probably the majority of it. Step one is your brain actually thought, oh my gosh, we were supposed to do that. That was your brain saying like, hey, I know this is important to you. So can you help me out on figuring out how to stop a little sooner? This is what you were supposed, this is what you can do at that moment. I'm glad that I remembered after that this is what I want to do. So the next meal, let me see if I can figure out an earlier stop point. Maybe before the meal, I'm going to remind myself, don't forget, you want to leave two bites behind. That's what we're practicing. Could be a thousand ideas. But what happens is when you have that conversation, it starts making your brain be like, oh yeah, this is what you want to do. So now I'm going to try to start finding evidence. I'm going to start looking for opportunities. I'm going to start sending the signal up a little bit sooner. It may take 3 or 4 days before it actually, your brain goes like, I think we're supposed to stop. That's okay. It's your brain is getting used to the idea of doing it. But what a lot of you do is you give your brain a different command. So you eat, you realize at the end of the meal, oh yeah, I was supposed to stop at 2. This sucks. I'm probably never going to get this. It's so hard. I don't know why I can't just do this. I'll probably never lose weight. You just told your brain that stopping at 2 bites is a painful process. It's really hard. And that you're probably not going to be successful anyway. So now it has zero motivation to try to help you out on the next meal. No commands, no motivation, no pleasurable, no nothing. This is why I talk to you guys. It's so important for you to learn how to talk differently, internally and externally. This is where all the weight loss will be happening. So once you hit module 2 and module 3 and module 4, you will hear the theme. It's all about your thoughts. It's all about your thoughts. It's all about your thoughts. Somebody asked, can we serve less instead of leaving bites behind? You can. But let me challenge you guys. I think it's okay to hack that in the very beginning to get used to eating less. But here's where the problem, it'll bite you in the butt. When you go out to eat or someone else brings you a plate or you are served, you haven't practiced leaving any food behind. Don't just throw away the exercise of the whole point of leaving a couple of bites behind is not just to leave 2 bites behind. You don't always have to leave them. It is to practice stopping. It is to allow yourself to realize, what do I think when I'm not going to eat at all? Because sometimes what happens is you start thinking how much it's a waste of money. I'll get hungry later. You just want to know what your brain thinks, because most of it feels true, but it's a load of crap that you've never changed. It's never been challenged. And that's why we do it. So for some of you, if you're serving yourself less food, you don't really need to leave 2 bites behind. It's still real purposeful. It's still going to get you results and stuff. But every now and then, I would practice serving a normal amount and really leaving a little bit of food behind where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to on purpose leave food behind so I can get used to it. So that when I go out to eat, when I go on vacations, when I go to birthday parties and celebrations and I do things, I've got some like skill underneath my belt to not just eat everything because it's sitting there, because it's in front of me. That's the purpose behind practicing all of that stuff. When you meet your 60-day goal early, what do? Write a new one for 60 days from now. Keep the original date, but edit the goal. I personally, when I meet goals early, I edit. What I do is I create what I call a micro goal. So I like really celebrate that I achieved this one. And then I'm like, all right, so I've got some time remaining. What else could I do with this remaining time? And then at the end of that, I'm like, woohoo, look at me. This is what I did. And then I go to the next 60-day thing. Just make sure that when you guys are achieving your goals, like when you are nailing your goals, when you have like, I want to do X amount of plans this week. This week my goal is to, you know, leave those 2 bites behind every day. Or maybe this week your goal is I won't eat until I've drank 16 ounces of water. Because for a lot of you, if water is your thing, like it's hard for you, and you create a lot of faux hunger for yourself, some of you may want to set up for like a 2-week challenge for yourself to like, every meal, I drink 8 ounces of water, or I drink 16 ounces of water. I wait 5 minutes before I eat, and then I eat slowly. It teaches your body how to get hydrated. It teaches you how to like regulate your hunger and stuff. So as you're tracking those things, please make sure you're celebrating that stuff. Don't just let it fly by. Don't just always be like, ooh, I got to set another goal. Ooh, I got to set another goal. Really let it land. Like takes, and when I say let it land, that means you get out some paper and you write like, I'm so grateful, Corinne, for all like for all these things that you did. Like list five. The difference in your life is, and list good stuff. You've learned blah, blah, blah about yourself. And then end it with, thank you so much. And I bet like we are going to like keep going or just encourage yourself. One of the things that we do not do enough of is making sure that the process is pleasurable, fun, and enjoyable. And it needs to be. People who keep their weight off are the people who lose their weight and love the life that they built. People, like, it's not about the weight loss. It's about the life you build. It's about the type of thinking you end up with. It's the habits that you formed. It's the, like, when you celebrate the small wins, like, guys, you can do this every week. You can do this as often as you want. You can do this every day. Every day that you follow your plan, write a short little something in your planner about how proud you are of yourself. The significant changes it's making. That turns the process of losing weight into a pleasurable one and one that you never want to leave. Because you're redefining how you talk to yourself. You're training your brain to look for what's right about you and right about the world versus looking for what's wrong about you and what's in the world. Can we get the celebration template Corinne just mentioned? If someone will type it up, that just came off my head. So there's no official template, but I'm pretty sure we could type it up and stick it in the notes of this call. So, but yeah, it's like, that's so funny. My template that I just pulled straight out of my ass, like a little smiley turd. All right. What time we got left? All right. I've been in no BS for about a month and I've lost and gained the same 2 pounds the whole time. I'm planning, I'm tracking, I'm assessing. Good for you. I'm waiting. I'm eating, when I'm hungry. I'm stopping sooner, but following a plan feels like the restrictions of every diet I've ever failed at. How do I stop the rebellion? So it doesn't sound like there's rebellion going on just yet. Rebellion would mean you're not doing any of the things. Now, what I don't know from this post is we didn't really talk about if you're following your plan. And so, guys, I want to talk about this. When you're bouncing, like if you're losing and gaining the same amount of pounds, you can do the four basics and ping pong. But what you guys forget is it's not about like, I'm listening for my hunger cues. Like I was talking to someone yesterday, a really good call for y'all to listen to. And I think her name was Cynthia. I'm not 100% sure. If we will put the link to yesterday's coaching call in here and who I coached, but she was the one that I coached last month and she came back this month. So this is what happened is I challenged her that if she would do her plan for 30 days, and come back with data that I would coach her on a call to see how it goes. And she didn't bust her plateau. But what she did was she figured out that 25% of the time, like she's making a plan, 25% of the time, she's not following it. And 50% of the time, she's stopping when she's had enough. And she was like, but I'm doing the basics. And I don't understand why I'm like gaining and regaining the same weight. And I said, okay, well, let me phrase it to you like this. So you're telling me what you would love to be able to do is I want to lose weight, being able to overeat half my life and eat whatever I want 25% of it. You can be doing the basics
And that's the start. But you do have to look at the, like, here's where the rubber meets the road. When you look at the parts that you're not doing, you get real focused on one of them. And you do all you can the next month to resolve that one thing. So I challenged her. We were talking about the two bites because she has a lot of drama around it. And I said, what if we just try it? Because in her mind, if I stop eating sooner, I will be starving or hungry. And I said, two bites are really going to make all that difference. And she's like, yeah, but two, like, her brain was thinking about all the, like, it's probably going to be more because if I want to lose 30 more pounds, her brain was like going way down the choo-choo train tracks. And I was like, yeah, but what about this week? What if this week, this is what we do? And this week we practice this. So it's a great call for all of you to listen to when it comes to I'm bouncing between the same pounds. It's, you can be doing the basics, but not doing them where you're like, I'm assessing, but are you changing? Are you actually assessing and taking what you learn and trying new things? Or are you just repeating the same thing, writing it down each time and getting frustrated that it's not changing? It doesn't change because you get frustrated at it. It doesn't change because you notice it. Sometimes noticing some stuff is enough. But if it keeps coming back, the same types of things, then we dig in and we figure out, all right, how am I talking about my plan? If I'm having a hard time following my plan, how do I talk about it in my brain when I create it? Do I talk about, I just need to get this done? This is what I have to do. This is what Corinne tells me to do. Or am I sitting there and talking about it pleasurably? Am I giving myself motivation for it every day? Am I creating the feelings I want around it? Or am I expecting writing some words down, not being enthusiastic about them? And to, like she says, it feels like the restrictions. All right, if it feels restrictive, it's not because of what you're putting on the plan. It's because of how you're fucking talking about it. If you're saying, if you're putting on your plan lots of things you think you shouldn't have, can't have, don't need to eat, that kind of thing, guess what? Bye-bye motivation. Create a painful experience for your plan all day. And yeah, your brain will want to avoid it like the plague. And you might not be following your plan hardly. But it isn't because of the food you're putting on there. It's the attitude in which you create everything behind it. So it really takes looking into it. That call is super helpful for that. We have several calls on that. So if you ever want calls on restriction, make sure you post in the group. The community team can help you parcel out some calls on like restrictive thinking. Because it's not so much that we are restricting. Most of us have very restrictive thinking that leads to creating plans that are punishing. That you're creating plans from fear. And I want to break the habit of that. Because there are lots of good, better, best foods. A lot of you are so afraid of some healthy foods because you've only ever ate them through punishment. You've never really tried them like they're a gift to you. And the same thing happens with your Oreos and your Cheetos. So many of you have only ever ate them as a reward or is an overreaction to something, and then you beat yourself up, that you're terrified of them, or that you use them against yourselves. And I want to help you guys balance and normalize that relationship with food. What would you consider a punishing plan? A punishing plan is one where whatever you write on it, whether it's I'm going to eat all the Doritos in the world or I'm going to eat all the broccoli in the world, the actual food doesn't matter. A punishing plan comes from a punishing mindset. These are the foods I should eat. These are the foods, this is the only kinds of foods that I like. I'm a slow loser and these are the foods I have to eat. I've always been overweight. I can't really plan those other kinds of food. That's a punishing plan. I was really like, everybody. So we're going to like link this call, this particular coaching call up in here. Listen to caller number one. She's a binge eater. And we did a coaching call on this exact thing. I think that was the Queen's Club. Mary Jo, I think this might've been the first call in the Queen's Club. That's the call. So link up last night's coaching call, link up the coaching call from Queen's Club also. Caller number one is a binge eater. And we were talking about this popcorn she wanted. And she was only going to have it if she had to not binge. She had binged for like 6 days. And the only way she was going to have it is if she got through like, you know, the hurdles of not binging. And then she was going to reward herself with some popcorn. That's punishing planning. So like, although she was trying not to binge, she was making her plans under the guise of, you can't have this because you've been bad. And so now you've got to earn your way to get the food you love. That would be another example of a punishing plan. Colleen, was that you who I coached? She's here. So I want Colleen's call linked to this one also. All right. Last question. Is it normal to be constantly checking in, looking for hunger cues? I'm very much an eat by the clock gal. I find myself searching and almost begging for hunger cues around my typical meal times, afraid to be hungry due to an old diet trauma of starvation being the only way to success. Help. It is normal in the beginning. It would be like, you know, like if you ever first start learning how to drive, like you've got your death grip on the steering wheel and you're constantly checking your mirrors and stuff like that. If you're learning how to cook, like let's say you're going to cook, like me, chicken or roasted vegetables or something. In the beginning, I used to like look at it all the time for fear it was going to burn. I didn't know what was going on in there. Then eventually you do it enough times, you just kind of know that is what happens. When you haven't been listening for hunger cues for a long time, you are going to be consciously searching for cues, consciously listening and stuff. Eventually what happens is it will become unconscious. You'll be listening so much that eventually your brain will do it on autopilot. It will just run more in the background and you'll hear it, but you won't have to make yourself hear it. All right, last thing. If you want to get registered for camp, do so. We have a bonus right now. So it's at whenever you join camp, you will be invited to weekly co-planning calls. They happen on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Time. They're ongoing. We've had two so far. They've been super helpful and super productive. We're doing it for camp so that people can be planning together and unearthing a lot of their self-sabotage. So if you want to come to camp, the sooner you sign up, the more co-planning calls you get. The other thing is international. I hear some of your boxes are already starting to be delivered or arrive. Somebody from Canada has already gotten a box and a couple of places have already gotten their shipping notice. More international boxes are going out next week. And I believe the mainland group of you, your boxes will start shipping. I believe it's next week, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like the 23rd is when we're going to do the next big drop shipment for all of the main people. So make sure you get signed up for camp. Lots of cool things are happening. We just want to make sure that you guys know about it. You can go to pmptribe.com, go to the events tab. We blow it out of the water, y'all. It'll be life-changing. And other than that, I guess I will see you guys at the after party on Friday here, 10 a.m. Central Time in Facebook. See you soon, y'all.